Brown shade of my skin.
got it all. You know that.
Nothing's changed. Still the same.
You got your help. You never got your help.
We got it all.
Second verse.
I'm telling you.
Got no mansions, restaurants. I got no yacht. Well, I got no choice but to show y'all what some of us forgot. Never was hot, never was pop, but I never ever stopped that real hip-hop. Got no paparazzi, got no company that got me. Walking alone in the hood, so it's easy to spot me, y'all. Got no million follower friends on Twitter, on Facebook, look at my friends. Got no thing for video games, got no shame saying I ain't never playing. Got no hate for things that are great, don't you know I salute. Probably got the same
we
thing.
Got it all.
We ain't never talking about no things here now.
Nothing's changed, still the same. Everything.
Look at your loved ones.
We got it all.
Look at your young ones.
I'm telling you.
If you got the old ones around, love them, talk to them, hug them, love them. Damn right.
Mother Nature. Learn to meditate under a tree and pray anywhere under the sky. She's a lovely and giving mother, and if you have faith, she'll give you whatever you need.
We signify our victory. The army of the Lord is coming. you to get on your feet right now and give some hand clap of praise to the pastor of this church, Reverend Frank Frank. Can we go back down south for a second? Deep Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. Y'all get ready, stomp your feet, clap your hands. We get ready to go back to the old church.
Fire,
fire,
and we'll
stay in the
E-Ray. Give him a great big ass.
We're not interested in interracial housing. We don't want your neighborhood. We want ours to be just as good. See, we don't want a store in your neighborhood. We don't want you coming in our neighborhood and open up stores and exploiting us and then go home and throw a bomb if we move next door out in the suburbs. We don't want your schools, but we want our schools to be the highest and the best possible for our black progeny. See, what people don't understand, we are saying, and we're not asking. You see, the die is cast, as I said. We're not asking. We're saying this is the way it's going to be.
The young lady from Winnetka has stated that she saw during the marches which she participated in people who were full of fear and hatred. Mr. Lucas has said that the American Negro is either going to be free or he's going to be dead.
Now, you get this straight. You can kill all the black folks you want to, baby, but you will not kill the freedom of black folks. It's coming. We're going to get it. We fought in every one of your damn lousy wars, baby, and you give us nothing. Now, the war is going to be here because we're going to be free. Now, you kill all you want to, but we kill too.
I don't agree with the moderator nor Reverend Robinson that we want some kind of agreement. We want agreement by which we can live or die. You choose. If you won't listen to me when I make an appeal for the Negroes because you have no concern for the Negroes, listen to me when I make an appeal for America. You claim you love America. Well, we love America. But you are driving us back and you are making a Samson out of us, and we are going to pull down the pillars. Should you try to pretend that I'm crazy because I want America to be saved? And then you think we have no right to ask for something? Is it too much to ask you to grant us human dignity? Should we be put down and shot to death for this request? If so, you can aim your guns. What the hell do you think we care about dying if you're going to deny us the right to live?
You know, this revolution is filled with so many ironies, really. First, you tell us that it is manly to keep your word. All right? If you are a man, you keep your word. And now all of the black people in this country are demanding, and even the black people in the whole world are demanding, is that you keep your word. You told us we were free. Well, then show us that we're free. You told us that there is justice, equality for all in this country. Well, then stick to your word and let us see the justice and equality for all. Or else admit to us that you're not a man, you're a worm, you're afraid of us, you're afraid to give us equal stand. You're afraid that if you give us equal ground that we will match you and we will override you. And if that's what you're afraid of us, then tell us that just what you're afraid of. But don't keep hiding it from us and holding this up to us, and every time we ask you for something, you give us a little bit of something, and it's all tokenism. We don't want tokenism. And there are most black men in this world that don't want charity. And yet still every time we ask you for something, you give us a little piece, a little piece. You're playing games with us. We're not children. We're big men. I've seen my father have to put up with all kinds of stuff. He was a big man. He raised a family. He went down south and he had to go around to the back door with his wife. We're not asking for anything. We're not asking for any favors. All we want is what's ours. Now, there are many black veterans who are coming back, and they're mad. They're angry. Do you think that they're going to sit down through this? Our fathers didn't have the knowledge that we have. They sat through it. But there are other black youth that are not going to sit through it. We know about Che. We know about Fanon. We've read the books of our revolution. We've listened to Mao and his quotations. We know where we stand. We're not going to sit for it. We're asking, and if we ask and we don't get, we're prepared to stand up and take it. If I ask a man, I tell a man I am hungry. I tell him I am cold. And I ask him to do something about my condition. And this man holds a loaf of bread right in front of me so I can see it, and I keep asking him, I'm begging him. to please give me a slice of the loaf of bread. I am hungry. Then it is known by every psychologist that the next step in the progression is I am going to knock them upside the head and take the bread from them. I'm not going to starve to death. All we're asking, no one wants to see blood. No one likes the smell of blood. No one wants war. Anyone who's been in war doesn't want war. Everyone knows what it is to see the inside of a man's gut hanging out and see your friends die, see relatives die. No one wants to regress back to the state of mind where you have to think it's all for the cause, therefore my mother has to die, my wife has to die, my brothers and sisters have to die. No one wants that. But you're pushing us to it. You're leaving us no choice. We're asking, we're begging. The students up at Columbia, they ask. The brothers down south ask. The brothers in Latin America, the brothers in Africa, they're all asking. All they're doing is asking. Our fathers asked. Our grandfathers asked. The presidents of our universities, our colleges had to go to your back doors to beg that their children be given just enough money so that they could be taught something to live off. And yet still, they ask and ask and ask, and you refuse to give them anything. Now, we're just about out of patience. We're not going to ask anymore. The news media says that it's only the young that are militant, only the young that want this and want that. Okay, but we're 40% of the black population now. Or we were a year ago, and still yet we're climbing. Before long, we'll be 50%, 55%, and then we'll have the command. We're not going to take it. We're not going to take sitting in rotten parks and in places that just aren't fit for living. We're not going to take it. There's a limit to a man's patience, and everyone knows that God, Christ, heaven, everyone knows that what we're asking is not $1 million. All we're asking for is humanity. We're asking to be allowed to live like human beings. And God, you tell us that this is too much to ask. You're sick. You're definitely sick. How can you tell me that it's too much to ask to be a human being?
Why am I mad? You know, white people ask me, why am I so angry? And, you know, I don't have any answer for him because it'd be ridiculous for me to answer him because he couldn't understand anyway, obviously, because he asked me the question.
The 400 years that I've existed there, 3 years, you know, 3 generations within my own family, why don't you know what I'm like? What is it so new in 1968 or, you know, in the 60s that you've got to learn? Because my grandfather was born, you know, he's 90. My mother was ready for integration. You know, she's middle class Negro. Now, all of a sudden, you come to me and you say, you know, communicate with me. Hell, I've been here all the time.
And we've been
Where were you?
Communicate.
Now, what do I have to say to you? The most advanced nation in the world. It has to be resolved. It has to be resolved because I want my children to have an answer. If not me, I personally prefer that I have an answer. You know, I don't have, you know, I like to think I don't have my lifetime to waste on this.
Most people say, if you don't like it here, get out. That's for spineless people. Spineless bastards who don't want to fight for what they believe in. Well, I'm staying here because I was born here, and I am going to fight for my freedom. And before I have kids, I am going to make sure that this damn United States deserves the existence of my kids, because I will not rest until every Sunday school is safe for my kids so that they won't get killed or beaten up like those kids down in Mississippi in 1966. That is going to stop. Or else I'll be dead. Either one. You white folks have either one of two choices. Give me my damn freedom or kill me. Because I am tired of sitting by being an Uncle Tom or a house Negro like Booth and Wilkins. Those two guys are not Negroes. They're white people with man tan. That's all. They don't speak for us. They have found their way into the white man's house, the white man's establishment, and they are not about to make waves. But I am, because I am not going to take seeing my kids walking to a newly integrated school and getting their heads whipped in by grown men. Because if that happens to my kids, there are going to be a lot of damn dead white folks, and I mean a lot, because I am not going to take this junk no more. The days of step and fetch it are dead. The days of the black face, big wide-eyed, gin-drinking black man are dead. Now we have what is called black consciousness.
But why is it that black people don't own the land where they live? White people own that land. We've never been taught property values. You see, we've never been taught property values. I don't own Harlem, for example. Black people don't own Harlem. So who gives a damn whether Harlem burned down or not? How you gonna tell me to love this property that exploits me every day when the average black man in Harlem works the first Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for a landlord? And on Thursday, he's working for Con Edison. And on Friday, he works for himself. And he's got the day off on Saturday, and he buys him a drink of liquor. And the minute he gets drunk, then a white policeman arrests him, takes him in a white court, and takes his money for 2 other weeks. And he goes in debts for the rest. And he goes to a white landlord, goes to a white pawn shop, or else he goes to another white loan shop to keep living on credit to pay off the white man. And he's paying taxes and profits and vacation pay for white people. So the average black man ain't got nothing to lose by anything that he does. And this is what the white man better understand. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Simple. As ABC. Or as 1, 2, 3, any way you go. There's no need asking me why these black people burning down these buildings out here. Hell, they got a positive answer. And people are not as dumb as people would think. With all the brilliant white psychiatrists and psychologists, you've been able to find a damn path to the moon, but you ain't been able to find one goddamn path 1 mile up the street. Maybe you better take time with just all this unique ability to find all these scientific discoveries that you've got to learn how to find your way into men's hearts and the men's mind.
Let me put it you this way. We are proud of being black and of our black heritage, but white America does not accept the concept that this is a multiracial society. It has never accepted the fact that there are black people, brown people, yellow people here alongside them. They've always looked upon America as being white. And hence, all of its propaganda is directed at us to convince us that somehow or other we must become white before they will accept us.
The problem is the standard for discussion is set by the whites. And a lot of Negroes now don't want to accept that standard anymore. They say we're going to have our own standard. I think that the hookup comes if you can develop a whole new standard where whites and Negroes can have a dialogue. Not either one of those are acceptable anymore. I mean, whites aren't going to accept Negro standards, and Negroes no longer want to be white, so that the clear thing is to develop a whole new standard, and then everybody move toward that so there can be some kind of dialogue.
You know, from a child up, I always, at first, I wanted to be white, you know, because my family was 20 of us, 6 girls and 14 boys. We would make 50 and 60 bales of cotton, gather all that cotton, and we wouldn't have food in the wintertime. So I figured then the white people must be right. But as I got older, I said, no, there's something wrong. And if I ever get a chance, I'm going to do something about it. I'm thinking about in terms of a better and a greater world for all people. And we can't do that by me in one corner doing what I can do to hurt you and you in the other corner doing the same thing against me.
So you go ahead and vote. So what? So you vote for a senator. And the senator's constituency is either lobbyists or lobbyists who represent big business or lobbyists who represent himself. So what? So you can vote.
There's been a lot of talk and a lot of shuffling of papers. But in terms of the plight of the black man in this country, there's been no perceptible change. Primarily because the white man has no reason to. He enjoys the highest standards of living. His government enjoys dominance in world affairs. Why should he turn to me now and say, I want to share part of my good fortune with you? He has no reason to.
I think there's going to be violence, see, because there already has been. I mean, when people try to free themselves, they kill Negroes in the South all the time. The Negro man has been emasculated and destroyed by that, by the fact that every time he stood up, he got just snuffed out right there. So I don't think there's any question but that there's going to be violence and brutality. But my attitude is that the brutality and the violence shouldn't become the reason that you want to be free. But that's a very personal thing, the freedom is. See, the question isn't what is freedom to me, it's what price freedom. Because sometimes the price that you pay for freedom is the very thing that makes you a slave again. That's what I think happened in Russia in 1917. But I know that there's going to be violence. I mean, I think it gets blurred, especially the individual, if I face you violently. See, who knows where that violence began? See, I mean, I might, if I face you with a gun and I got orders to kill you and you got orders to kill me, then we can't really deal with each other. Well, you're a target and I'm a target. So you can't really talk about that. But you can talk about the larger thing, the much more universal thing. The reason that you're there, see, is really not to kill, but to free.
Let us take a look at Harlem, 1964, when approximately 20 Molotov cocktails were exploded in Harlem. And in 1965, in August, in Watts, Los Angeles, 2,000 Molotov cocktails were exploded. I think that we are developing more sophistication, and I think in the next uprising, and I suspect it will probably come either in Washington, D.C., or in another unnamed city, where you're going to find 5,000 Molotov cocktails used.
On my way to Washington, feeling mighty sad, thinking about an income that I never had. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before the bill been built, we all put out in jail. Everybody's got a right to live. Black man picked the pot long time ago. He's been the victim since brought him to the show. Black man dug the ditches, hewed down the pines, gave his trouble to Jesus, kept on towing the line. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before his movement fails, we all go down in jail. Everybody's got a right to live. Black man dug the pipelines both night and day. Black man did the work while a white man got to pay. Now look at here, son. This is a brand new day. No more full-time work. No more part-time pay. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before his movement fails, we all go down in jail. Everybody's got a right to live. Yeah. I want my share of silver, I want my share of gold, want my share of justice, kill my dying soul. Black men dug the ditches long time ago. He has been the victim since brought him to the show. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before this movement fails, we all go down to jail. Everybody's got a right.
There he is, come on! Let's go see Santa Claus!
Yeah. Santa! Tommy Claus.
How come you don't got white hair and white beard?
Oh, surround my face with white so I can look some sort of damn North Pole negative. I don't think so. Homie, don't play that. So let I get this straight. You want me to lower myself so that you can assume a superior position and then demand tribute?
Yeah!
I don't think so. Homie, don't play that. I tell you what, you can sit on this. Your knee and I can keep my dignity.
But homie, what's dignity?
Here, let me show you. See how you feel right now?
Yeah.
Well, dignity is the opposite of that.
She ladled the conversation, skimming from the top. That damn helium balloon from last year still refuses to pop.
And welcome to Breakfast for Dinner. This is DJ Chris Wired. I want to thank you for joining me. That was the band Ohm Me, O-H-M-M-E, with the song Icon. A lot of great stuff here for you this evening, but let's take care of some business.
What if the second deadliest cancer in men and women could be prevented? Would you try to avoid the pain? And what if you could protect yourself without leaving your home? Colorectal cancer is highly preventable. Screening is important, safe, and most people have options. Ask your doctor which screening test is right for you. Learn more from the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at getscreened.org.
We have plenty of other great shows here at WRCT.